This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with LSU political scientist Wayne Parent, 32 years at the Old War School, most of his life teaching political science, and he'll impart his wisdom to us. Also, Wayne is the editor of a forthcoming book, The Louisiana Field Guide. We'll talk with Dr. Parent about what's happening in American politics, and as usual, Louisiana is at the apex of the discussion with the U.S. Senate race coming in less than 100 days. Also, Kinky Friedman, the singer, songwriter, novelist, humorist, and politician. He ran for governor of Texas a few years back and got 13% of the votes. He's in Baton Rouge tonight. And so is the one-woman comedy explosion, the mic chick, Tiffany Dickerson. We will talk with her about her performance in our fair city this evening. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633, your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. Inkstershow at WRKF.org online, and you may tweet us at Jim Inkster Show. Wayne Parent is our guest. 32 years a professor at Louisiana State University, and for a man of 58, that means he has spent well over half his life teaching political science at the Old War School. Good morning to you, Wayne.
It's always good to be here, Jim.
And you're just back from Greenwich Village, right?
Yeah, well, I housed that for a couple of months for an academic couple, and it was awesome, I have to say. I mean, these days, you get your laptop and your coffee shop, you can work anywhere. And I got some work done. I worked on this book I want us to talk about a little bit and worked on a few articles, but I saw a lot of ex-students, which is... They like to show the old man a good time, and
well,
I really appreciated that.
You're from Baton Rouge.
From Baton Rouge.
You went away and got your PhD at Indiana.
Right.
Mainly because you wanted to return to
Mainly because I got my dream job, and I'm very happy with my dream job. No regrets.
So is New York City, is Broadway like Chime Street?
Well, I didn't go to Broadway that much, but New York City is very different. It's exhausting, I have to say. But I spent every minute I could outside walking. I like listening to people, looking at things, overhearing conversations. But no, it's exhausting, I will just say that.
And you look great. There's much less of Wayne Parent over the last
few years. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm at the age where you need to be a little healthier. I want to feel good as I get into the later years, and I hope there are lots of them.
Well, you may have another 32 years
I hope
at
so.
LSU. That would mean you would be there at 90, and that is possible.
I could retire now, but I don't want to. I really enjoy what I do, I have to say. I write as much as I ever have, and my teaching, I'm enjoying it, seems like more than ever, because, I don't know, I'm more relaxed.
Former chair of the department.
Right. Yeah.
But not...
Not currently.
Currently.
No, those administrative jobs are tough. Hats off to people that do them. And we rotate out. We have a couple of three-year terms. Mm-hmm. I've rotated in and out a couple of times.
And you have some veterans there who have been at the department even longer than you.
Yes, we do. Jim, I mean, Cecil Eubanks, you know, Ellis Sandoz. Actually, a political science professor is the new dean of the College of Humanities and Social Sciences, Stacey Haney. She just started July 1st, and we're very proud of that.
Well, I know Eubanks arrived in 68.
Yeah, he was my first political science professor, and he's probably the reason I'm a political science major. He's still there.
And that's 46 years. He might make 50 years.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
No, he's a real mentor, I have to say.
Well, Wayne Parent has written one of the best books ever written about Louisiana politics called Inside the Carnival. And not resting on your laurels, you're back with the Louisiana Field Guide.
Well, yeah, this was a work of two people. I had a grad student who was from Florida and just loved Louisiana. He's a geographer, and he said, let's get together. That there's no really good, smart book, sort of a coffee table book, but this is much more than that on Louisiana. And he said, you know people. He knows a lot, actually. Ryan Arger is his name. And so we went to LSU Press, and we got heavy hitters, people you know that have published with LSU Press. You know, Mike Desmond, Alex Cook, Alicia Long, they've all published with LSU Press. And it's architecture, music, food. Maggie Richardson, who has a book coming out and does 225, she's doing food. And I just went back through it as we proofed it. And what's so nice is all the great things about Louisiana, its culture, its politics, they all show up in every chapter. I mean, of course you're going to talk about politics and music and African American and culture and Native American, and Huey Long shows up in, you know, five or six chapters, and they're all well written. I mean, it was like a no footnotes book. We said, we know you're that, but this is for, you know, this is for the general public. So actually, it was really nice to reread it as we proofed it, edited it, and all, you know, all that stuff. And I'm really proud of it, and I think Ryan's really proud of it too. So coming out in October, and we're going to be pushing it just because we like it.
Well, it's a book that anybody who reveres Louisiana politics and all its culture, the muck, as you call it.
The muck, yeah, yeah.
Must read the Louisiana Field Guide, coming soon to a bookstore near you. So Wayne Parent, hopefully we'll have you back when the official
unveiling takes place. Yeah, it's out in October, right around the Louisiana Book Festival, and we'll be there.
So. Very good. Now, Wayne Parent is a man who follows Southern politics, I think, closer than anybody in the United States. And it is somewhat unusual that now the voice from the South that is perhaps the most prominent is that of Bobby Jindal. He doesn't look like your old-time Southern politician.
No, does he? Doesn't. I mean, there's definitely a new era. You know, he was our first Indian-American governor, and you know, he's making a name for himself. He's certainly out there, that's for sure.
And at 43, he's the same age that John Kennedy was when he was elected president, so he won't break that record. In fact, Teddy Roosevelt was actually 42, but he's trying to be president at 45. Bill Clinton ran when he was 45 from a southern state.
Absolutely. And there, I mean, you know, the Republican field is wide open. He, you know, he hasn't budged that much in the polls. He's still sort of down there, but we're a year and a half away. And you know, he's positioned where he could make some moves, I think.
Well, yesterday he sent off a letter to the Honorable Barack Obama, President of the United States, the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 22500. Dear President Obama. And then he sent it to many of his closest friends, including us. He says it's unacceptable that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services considers posting information on a website as a legitimate notification mechanism of unaccompanied minors being placed in Louisiana. It is irresponsible to do so when the information is as critical as the information is as critical as the placement of 1,071 vulnerable unaccompanied immigrant children in this state. What do you think? Does he have a point?
Well, I haven't read the letter, and I don't follow that issue that closely, but I have to say he is going to speak on every national issue, and I think something has to be done, and I don't know what the solutions are. Sorry.
Well, he is taking a conservative stance on every issue.
Yeah, and I think on that, I mean, you know, that's going to work well in the Republican Party. I mean, I think younger people who are trending Democratic will probably not like his stance so much. I mean, that's what the polls say, and I follow all that stuff. So we'll see. And again, that's not an issue I'm as close to, but he first needs to get a Republican nomination, and he's voicing what people in the party, more than the people nationally, I think, but he's voicing what people in the party are saying.
If he veers too far right, though, and gets the nomination, and right now his chances are about as good as anybody's, with a few exceptions, then can he win a national election?
Well, you know, us political scientists sort of step back, and right now the demographics make it look tough for Republicans. For any Republican to win the national election. But that doesn't mean that they won. It just as structurally, it looks almost impossible for the Democrats to ever win the House back, you know. But those things happen. But right now, you know, 2 years out, it looks like it'll be tough for any Republican to win the presidency, just the way the Electoral College is set up. But that doesn't mean they won't. You know, odds are against Republicans, just like odds are against Democrats winning back the House. Yeah.
And the irony is that on paper, you would think it would be very difficult for Democrats to have control of the Senate, because most of the big states, which are proportionately not represented well in the Senate, California, New York, those are Democratic states.
Yeah, you're right. But Democrats have done better. This is a year where structurally Republicans should take over the Senate, because all the, you know, it's the sixth year. It's the year when all 6 year of a relatively unpopular president, but of any presidency, the 6 year is really tough for his party. A lot more Democratic seats are open. But as we know in Louisiana, and we can talk about that, you know, every model would tell you that Mary Landrieu, for instance, should lose, but we know it's a close race, and we know that anything could happen. I'm trying to say the same thing about the presidency. I mean, structurally, this should not be that close a race, just like structurally 2 years from now, the presidency should go to the Democrat. But we're looking in Louisiana, it's like, well, no, this is a very close race in Louisiana. And even though structurally the Republicans should win, you know, all the big forces say Republicans should win, a Democrat, the incumbent who's been there for three terms, might well win.
All right, 297-5633. We'll go to the phone lines with Wayne Parent. And it appears that Senator Landrieu will be able to raise as much money or more than her Republican challengers. And despite the fact that the Koch brothers are supposedly behind Bill Cassidy, Landrieu's going to have plenty of money.
Right.
And if this goes down to the wire with this seat controlling the U.S. Senate, you can imagine what will happen in December.
Well, yeah, it's all what I guess we dream of. It's like a month after the national elections, the control of the Senate could come down to Landrieu versus Cassidy. And we've been in the spotlight quite a bit before. Actually, I've lived through some days where I don't think we wanted to be in the spotlight, but this wouldn't be so bad. I mean, these are two legitimate candidates for the Senate, and if control of the Senate, we would just be really bombarded.
Okay. 297-5633, inkstershow@wrkf.org, and you may tweet us at Jim Inkster Show. A question from Chris about Rob Manus, the other Republican in the race. What percentage do you think Rob Manus will get?
Well, we've been underestimating people like Rob Manus. I mean, you know, conservative, quote, Tea Party support types. We certainly underestimated that in Mississippi when Chris McDaniel did so well. I think he'll probably do better than we expect. It's hard for me to put a number on it, but I think he'll probably do better than we expect.
10%?
Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we're talking Landrieu and Cassidy.
And where does that 10% go in the runoff? That's the big question.
No, the question is whether they turn out, you know, and where does it go? You're right.
Tony Perkins and Sarah Palin have endorsed Manus, and right. Perkins told me face-to-face, as close as I am to you right now, Jim, moderates never beat liberals. He is not a Cassidy man by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and you know, the best example is right next door in Mississippi, although I think Cochran will go ahead and win. But, you know, that turned out to be a bit of a mess.
Charles on North Foster. Hi, Charles. You're on the air with Dr. Parent.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning to your guests. I was just listening to what you guys were saying about Bobby Jindal. I find his comments about these children interesting. Mere fact that he came here, he was conceived in India, born here. So I find his comments strange. What does he want us to put these kids on, the space station, or send them to Gitmo? He didn't go to Gitmo. Nonetheless, let's move on. My concern is that when you guys talk about Bobby Jindal, it seems like his shady side gets omitted. He has a brother who's a lawyer for BP, and all of a sudden Bobby Jindal, you know, reversed himself on the levy board issue in New Orleans.
I don't think he ever reversed himself.
Think if he runs for president, if there are things that need to come out, they'll come out.
Oh, everything will come out, including the exorcism. Everything about him will come out about Governor Jindal. I don't know that he has a, quote, shady side, though.
Yeah.
But he has issues that would be prominent in a national election. And for the most part, he's been given a free ride in Louisiana. The press corps, and we, by the way, we're losing another a very good one, Michelle Milholland of The Advocate, going to work for the Treasury Department under John Kennedy. I think today's her last day, and she wrote a column. We'll talk about that a little bit, about the 6th District race. But the press corps is getting more and more tepid with all these people leaving for high-paying jobs in state government.
Right,
Wayne Parent.
Right. Well, yeah, it's kind of tough. I understand people wanting higher pay jobs.
You know, along the way in my 35 years of doing this. I've had a few job offers, but nobody in state government has ever offered me a job. And you know what? I might have taken it.
Yeah, I can understand that. There's some cute security there.
297-5633 is your number. Back with Wayne Parent after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633, 877-217-5757 outside the area, and Inkstershow at WRKF.org. For Wayne Parent, 32 years at the Old War School, meaning he arrived as a professor of political science in the year of, if it's 32 years, 1982. 1982, when Ronald Reagan was in his first term.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it was interesting because students have changed quite a bit. I mean, students were very conservative then, and this is the first time I've been at LSU that about half my classes are not conservative. I mean, LSU, I mean, we look at the demographics. LSU is sort of white, middle class, suburban, in the South. That should be very Republican.
But younger people.
But younger people are definitely skewing more liberal and about... At least in among vocal students, I have a real liberal voices in my classes, and it's going to be interesting, this more liberal cohort, especially on things like gay marriage. I don't think they're going to change that much when they grow up, but it's certainly something that's going to be fascinating to see.
Robert in Bocage. Robert, you're on the air with Wayne Parent.
Good morning, Mr. Inkster, Dr. Parent. I have this question. Dr. Parent, you made a brief reference to getting out the vote with regard to the upcoming Senate race.
Right.
What impact, if any, do you think that the candidacy of former Governor Edwards in the 6th District congressional race will have on Mary Landrieu's chances?
Well, I think it'll increase Democratic turnout in this district. I mean, this district, as you probably know, was redrawn. It was a competitive district, but it was redrawn to be a Republican district. I mean, normal Democratic voters were put into the New Orleans district, which was already Democratic. But there remain Democratic voters in this district. And Edwards, while an underdog, was certainly considered competitive in this district. And because he's who he is, people who vote Democratic will go out and vote for him. Actually, some people who vote Republican will probably go out and vote for him as well. And that, you know, that would disproportionately help Mary Landrieu's votes, I suspect. I know they've had a past where they didn't always agree with each other when she ran for governor and he wasn't real crazy about it and all that. But I think in this case, they help each other out.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Wayne Parent.
Yeah, do you think that the trending of young people to be more liberal is because of the attractiveness of liberal ideas, or just a distaste for especially the Tea Party extremists?
Yeah, no, I think you're hitting both of those. I mean, I think on racial issues and gender issues, I think those naturally attract younger people, and I think they'll sort of stick with them. I do think it's odd. I mean, we talk about, I think older people are sort of reacting against what's going on with younger people and moving a little farther to the right, which is causing this crazy thing where older people are becoming, in the South, are becoming more conservative than younger people, and they're reacting against each other. And so, yeah, I think you're hitting on it. I think it's a little of both. One of the better books on the 2012 election was talking about sort of the Democrats really positioning themselves as the party of the center. In other words, painting the Republican Party as the party that had gone too far to the right. And I think a lot of younger voters see it that way as you know, fewer moderates. I mean, if the Republican Party was seen as being more moderate in the South, they might have an easier time.
Kim on I-10. Good morning, Kim. You're on with Wayne Parent.
Good morning, gentlemen. Professor, I must say to begin with that I find most of what Bobby Jindal does to be abhorrent. But I want to ask a particular question of you about your knowledge of the the Rhodes Scholarship Program. The reason I ask about this is that everybody who is a Rhodes Scholar seems to be given a free pass in this country, and it bothers me because of who started it and the premise of who started it, an imperialist of that class. And I'm just wondering if you have made a study of the influence, the kind of influence on policy.
All right, a Per-Rhodes Scholar.
I wish I had. I mean, you bring up something I've read about here and there, but thanks for the question, and it sparks my interest. But no, I can't legitimately.
Well, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, yeah. And David Vitter is a Rhodes Scholar, and Clinton, Vitter, and Jindal, they have a lot in common, don't they?
Yeah. Well,
white males, politicians, and Rhodes Scholars, and from the South. And, of course, all three want to be president.
Right.
Bill Clinton, you know, Bill Clinton has said that he thinks that that the presidency should be like the governorship of Louisiana, where you serve two terms, sit out a term, and then be allowed to run again. That's not going to happen.
No.
But he has a placeholder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she wouldn't like you to put it that way, but yeah.
But that's basically how it started. Right. Now, Hillary, of course, has built up her own resume over the last dozen years as a U.S. Senator and a Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, I'm sure, will vote for her because of her husband.
Well, I mean,
and vote against her, perhaps.
Yeah, certainly attracted to what they both represent, sure.
Okay. 2975633, Silas writes, in light of comments by Wayne Parent, what does he think of Governor Jindal having tied his political fate to the aging white baby boomers who comprise the Tea Party and whose numbers can only shrink?
Well, I think that's something you can say about a lot of the Republican Party right now. And you know, once parties change, and once the party gets to the general election, you know, I mean, he's got a strategy, and his strategy is to go for the base, which gives the nomination. And then once you get to the general election, you have a different audience. So I understand the question, certainly.
Veronica in Denham Springs. Veronica, you're on with Wayne Parent.
Hi. The thing with the Republican Party, it seems as if you don't have their ideas or their thoughts, you're not welcome. And the Democratic Party is holding up to its image of being the big tent party. For instance, at one of the Republican conferences, they booed members of the gay Republican wing. What do they call the
log cabins?
Log cabin Republicans, yes. And I just thought that was very disappointing.
Well, I mean, You're all pointing out something we certainly are aware of. I mean, the Republican Party is having to deal with that. I mean, if the Republican Party didn't have, you know, low approval ratings right now, the Republican Party should be in great shape. But because of all the things you said, the Republican Party, even though structurally they're in pretty decent shape for this fall, if there wasn't this perception out there that they were extreme, they would be in much better shape.
Today, Michelle Mulholland, in our final column for The Advocate, has this back and forth on Twitter between Garrett Graves and Edwin Edwards. And if you're into alliteration, that's a very good potential runoff. Graves, very sorry, did not intend to confuse you. Apparently, someone has signed you up to run for Congress. Edwards responds, go home, Garrett, you're drunk. Graves responds, the runoff is in December, and Edwards, but it's over in November for you. So the gloves are off for GG and EE.
Yeah. No, this is going to be an interesting race, and Edwards does make it interesting. I mean, the Democrats weren't seen as being a player, but he's going to, you know, the Democrats are a player in this very Republican district now.
And Dewana writes that Garrett could respond, but I'm not a convicted felon. And Edwards could respond back saying, but I am a college graduate. Now, Garrett Graves is not a college graduate. Neither is Vance McAllister. Both of them may end up winning in McAllister again. That would be a case in which Louisiana is eschewing higher education. For a man who spent his life in higher education, what do you think, Wayne Barron?
I mean, people have all sorts of qualifications for office, you know, and I don't think a college degree has to be one of them.
Does it matter at all?
Well, yeah, it has an effect. It has an effect on the way things look. I mean, certainly, I'm not going to say a college degree isn't valuable, but you know, I'm not going to say a college degree, not having one, should disqualify someone for being.
Well, you just can't win for losing. If you're a Rhodes Scholar, you get attacked.
Yeah,
and if you don't have a college degree, you get attacked.
Exactly.
Thank you, Wayne Parent. Always a pleasure. Let's talk again in October with the official unveiling of Louisiana Field Gun.
I look forward to returning. I always enjoy being here.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And we're joined now by Kinky Friedman, singer, songwriter, novelist, and politician. And tonight, 8 o'clock, he's at the Red Dragon Listening Room, a man who is a fixture on the American scene, political and otherwise. Good morning, Kinky Friedman.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. Life is on a pedestal. Go ahead.
I'm just saying it's the curse of being multi-talented. That's my problem.
you're a jack of all trades and a master of a few. Got 13% of the votes when you ran for governor of Texas. More than many thought you would get. Have you ever thought about doing it again?
Well, the late Ray Price, the great country singer, told me that he thinks that Jesus probably would have lost if he'd run as an independent in Texas. It's just pretty hopeless. I think he's right. So, and I don't know. I don't want to be a Democrat or a Republican anymore. I think it's the same guy admiring himself in the mirror, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, like Jesus, you are Jewish.
I'm Jewish. I'm skinny. I'm a troublemaker, travels around, irritating people.
You know, we never see a fat Jesus. We'll see a black Jesus sometimes, a white Jesus, Jesus with long hair, short hair, but we never see a fat Jesus.
A fat Jesus or a black Jesus?
Well, I've seen black Jesuses, but I haven't seen...
I've seen black Jesuses, yeah.
But I haven't seen a fat Jesus.
A fat Jesus we have not seen yet. No, that's a very good point you raised, Jim. We never see a fat Jesus, and we should.
Why? Why? I don't think Jesus was fat.
Well, but fat people need Jesus as much as anybody else, probably less. I think the fatter you are, usually the happier you are.
That's the old axiom. But you're skinny, and you're happy. You're happy.
No, I'm not happy. Well, I'm naturally happy, but I'm striving to be miserable, Jim, because I believe if you want to be an artist of any kind, that's step one. You have got to be miserable or you'll never create anything great. That, I believe now, is the linkage between classical music, which I listen to all the time, and classical country music, I mean the great country music of the past. They're very similar because of the melancholy. They're both... The great, great art is always melancholy.
Well, tonight you're performing at the Red Dragon Listening Room, and this is one of the real quaint venues in all the world on Florida Boulevard in Baton Rouge, 2401 Florida, 8 o'clock for Kinky Friedman. And you call this the Victory Tour. What do you mean by this?
Well, I've been thinking of changing the name to the Misunderstood Genius Tour, which it also could be, but Victory means I'm liberated from politics now. My idea of legalizing pot and hemp in the state of Texas. The people, I don't think, are ready for it yet. At least the primary voters aren't. And it's a shame we're all held hostage to the primary system, because I think I would have won the election in November. But we'll never know that. So, so politics loss has been music and literature's gain. Now, this is a higher calling, traveling around the country and performing musically.
Well, you have practiced politics in a state that in recent vintage has produced George W. Bush and Rick Perry and some really colorful people. Are they in your league? Are they in your league?
Well, that's their... The question to ask them, I doubt if they are. Their inspirational value is about the same as all the other elected officials in our country these days. It's just about at zero. And I would like to see someone like JFK or Ronald Reagan, Churchill, an Abe Lincoln, somebody spring up here young people could look up to. And there just is nobody. I've got my last will and testament worked out. When I die, I'm to be cremated, and the ashes are to be thrown in Rick Perry's hair. So we have that all set up. That's my only connection with Rick at the moment, yeah.
But they would never find your ashes if they were thrown in Rick Perry's hair.
That's true, and, you know, I was showing some out-of-state folks around Austin recently, Jim, and one of them said, boy, that's a beautiful statue of Rick Perry you all put up there. And I said, that is Rick Perry.
Well, Rick, when he was running for president a few years ago, a few times on the campaign trail, and it looked like he might have been consuming some alcohol.
No, that would have been a positive, and I'm virtually sure it wasn't that. But the good news is that God is always speaking to Rick Perry, so we know we're going to get some divine guidance, which is a good thing to have. I just think the good people are not getting into politics these days, and that's never good. I mean, it would be nice to see some musicians, you know, who are decent, creative types, honest. I'd like to see that. I always said that musicians could better run the country than politicians, that we probably wouldn't get a hell of a lot done early in the morning, but we'd work late, and we would have integrity.
Well, who are some of the musicians other than you who might be good politicians? I can think Bruce Springsteen would probably win in New Jersey.
Yeah, I would think the guy that knows a lot about the people, that is a real man of the people, it would still be Willie. If we could get over, if Texas could just look up at Colorado and see this tiny little pissant state making hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue on legalizing pot, and in realizing what's happened in the past few years on medicinal marijuana.
All right, when you say Willie, you're referring to Willie Nelson, not Willie Mays.
No. Although, I'm just suggesting people from other casinos of endeavor, you know, people who can reach lots of people and inspire, are the ones that ought to be in political office. I mean, Obama has about the same inspirational quotient that Rick Perry does. Zero. I mean, we're just not finding people like Ann Richards, you know, or Barbara Jordan, or Molly Ivins, all Texas Democrats. We're not finding people like that around the Democratic Party these days, unless you think Harry Reid is a great man.
Well, Reid and Obama, they may be too cool. Cool as in comatose. People want some passion in their politicians, and the Democratic Party seems to be lacking that.
Yeah, they do. Both political parties do, and that pretty well rounds out my definition of politics. Poly means more than one, and ticks are blood-sucking parasites. That's what we have. Exactly what we have in office. And it's a shame. I mean, I'd really like to see somebody with a little bit of a spunk or color, or like humor in politics has gone completely out. Nobody wants to say anything that might be misconstrued, you know, by the politically correct types.
297-5633. We're hearing the voice of Richard Friedman, better known as Kinky. He'll be at the Red Dragon Listening Room tonight. We'll talk with him some more about politics and other matters. And also, we'll hear from Mike Chick, Tiffany Dickerson, when we return in 90 seconds on WRKM. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633, your number. In just a bit, Tiffany Dickerson, the one-woman comedy explosion, and the Mike Chick tonight. She's performing as well, not so far away from the Red Dragon Listening Room, where Kinky Friedman will be on stage at 8 o'clock, 2401 Florida Boulevard. Kinky Friedman, of course, is a fixture in American life. He's been compared to Will Rogers and Mark Twain. I don't think you would disagree with that comparison, Kinky.
Well, you know, Jim, I think both Will Rogers and Mark Twain would have a tough time making it today. I don't think people would understand Will Rogers' comedic take. The profundity of humor in politics is just gone. And, you know, I did a tour of, I did some shows in Europe recently, earlier this year, and I played, I even played Germany And as you may know, the Germans are my second favorite people. And my first is everybody else. Lord. But even the Germans understood. They like that joke. And I guess the whole thing with politics and myself is that what Willie Nelson says, if you fail at something long enough, you become a legend. So maybe someday we'll do it. I mean, right now I'm going to be 70 years old soon, though I read at the 72-year-old level.
In exactly 3 months from today, Richard Kinky Friedman will turn 70, the age of Job. And this is a man who graduated from Austin High School in 1962. How was Austin in 1962?
Well, it was a hell of a lot better than it is now. Right now, I call Austin Dallas with guitars because it's just they just don't seem to have preserved anything, Jim. Every change is for the worst, as Joe Heller once said. And we look at San Antonio. You go to downtown San Antonio, you've got all the old style architecture, buildings, places are preserved. I mean, they're there, you know. So, but in Austin, it's become very corporate, kind of like Nashville has. I haven't heard a good song come out of Nashville ever since Willie got out of Dodge, you know, and I guess 1971, where they had Kris Kristofferson and Shel Silverstein and Roger Miller and Merle Haggard and some great, great writers, great songs. Now you hear a lot of derivative crap coming out of there, and it's partly the American Idol syndrome, I think, that's hurt us, and partly it's just us. You know, the culture's got ADHD. The culture has changed. And I don't know if we recognize Hello Walls or Sunday Morning Coming Down if somebody wrote it today.
Have you been to Hippie Hollow lately?
No, I haven't. I avoid all forms of enjoyment and entertainment because I'm trying to be miserable so I can create great art.
Steve Winham writes, Kinky, would you consider becoming a Louisiana citizen and running for governor here?
I'll tell you one thing. You guys certainly have some colorful characters going all the way back to Huey Long. I mean, you've got some real flesh and blood people running, and I'm afraid the Texans, you know, there's something wrong with us. It's like the gambling problem that Texas has. We seem to think that building roads and schools in Louisiana and Oklahoma is what we ought to be doing. Money is hemorrhaging out of Texas. And in fact, it's kind of a feud between Oklahoma and Louisiana now. I think you guys were complaining that Oklahoma was taking your Texans away. We think all the other states around us are heathen, you know, and we're the only ones who have found the righteous path. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy. And back with Pot again, it's ridiculous for Texas to have the finest cancer hospital, arguably, in the world, MD Anderson, and no medicinal marijuana program, where we can all see. I don't know, Jim, I guess you saw that same thing I did on CNN with Sanjay Gupta, that documentary on pot in Colorado. That was remarkable when you see that pot reduces the seizures in a child from epilepsy from 100 a day to 1. And that happens immediately. I mean, this drug works. And because chemo kills as many people or more than cancer. So if you've had cancer, which one-third of us fully will get, if you've had cancer and surgery or radiation, and you get this situation where you can't sleep and you have no appetite and you're nauseous and dizzy all the time for 6 months, that'll kill you. And that's called chemo, reaction to chemo.
All right.
And if pot can make you feel human again and can reduce or eliminate those, we certainly should be prescribing. Again, 76% of American doctors now want to prescribe it and can't do it.
Now, earlier in this show, I referred to three Rhodes Scholars, Bill Clinton, David Vitter, and Bobby Jindal, as white males. I got a response from Fred Thompson. He says, Bobby Jindal is purebred Indiana. I think he means Indian, but what do you know about our governor?
Yeah. I don't like to pry into other people's politics now. We've got enough problems in Texas. Our main problem is that all of my political heroes are dead. That's the problem. And I like Bill Clinton, and I like George W. I think I'm the only man who slept at the White House under two presidents, and Clinton.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you in the Lincoln bedroom?
Yeah, I was. And I also gave Bill Clinton a Cuban cigar. And told him, remember, Mr. President, we're not supporting their economy. We're burning their fields.
Well, tonight you'll hear more from the incomparable Kinky Friedman, former lead singer of Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. And tonight I imagine you'll be doing a little singing along with your commentating.
Absolutely right. I'll be singing one song I'll be adding to the repertoire. Of course, there will be They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus Anymore, Joseph Heller's favorite Kinky song. And then Bill Clinton's favorite Kinky song, which is Waitress, Please Waitress, Come Sit on My Facebook. And finally, Ride 'em Jew Boy, which we have on excellent authority, was a song that Nelson Mandela listened to repeatedly late at night on Robben Island in his prison cell, where he served 17 years.
27 years.
That was
27.
Well, he served 27 in all. I don't think all of it was on Robben Island.
Okay.
We'll have to Google that one. I know you're right that he served about a third of his long life in prison.
Right.
But I think the first hitch was before he joined the Jewish law firm, which we will be talking about, the only law firm that would take Mandela. And, they told him, Nelson, just stay out of politics. Don't be a troublemaker, and you'll be the most famous lawyer in the whole country. And, of course, thankfully for all of us, he didn't do that. And he joined that fraternity of Jesus Christ, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and Mandela, which are real civil rights leaders, real leaders.
Well, thank you so much, Kinky Friedman. Always a honor to speak with...
Likewise, Jim. It's been a financial pleasure. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kinky. Take care. Bye-bye. By the way, I had a question the other day. He said, Jim, do you pay your guests? And the answer is absolutely no. I've never paid a guest and don't intend to ever to do so. They come here because they want to be with the most enlightened audience in radio, and the most enlightened because you listen to WRKF. And Tiffany Dickerson is in studio, the one-woman comedy explosion and the mic chick, performing tonight at 7 o'clock. Where will you be, Tiffany? Well, first of all, Frank Barnett needs to turn your microphone on, and I think we have it on now.
Good morning, Jim Inkster.
There you go. You're going to be not so far from Kinky Friedman. You'll be on Mayflower Street, right?
I will be on Mayflower at one of Baton Rouge's hottest new venues here in town. It's called XO, and I am just so overwhelmed at the response that we're getting from the community. We're close to selling out.
Well, tonight is a night in which we're going to have some comedy in close proximity with Kinky and with Tiffany, the one-woman comedy explosion. A few months ago, you sold out a big venue. I know that.
Yes. We were at the Holiday Inn. It was my one-woman comedy explosion, the live taping, working on trying to get the DVDs distributed and produced for mass distribution. Just very, very happy with how that event turned out. Tonight promises to be even more exciting. This is a total comedy experience. Comedian Carissa Cropper, who's open for Cat Williams, she's moving and shaking right here in the local area as a up-and-coming comedian. She's going to open for me. Ariane, who performs with the band Euphoria, she's hosting. We have a phenomenal DJ from New Orleans, DJ T. Kelly, that's going to be mixing it up. So a lot of excitement, a lot of excitement.
Very good. So tonight, the earth will be moving with the one-woman comedy explosion, the mic chick, Tiffany Dickerson, who is a state worker and does this kind of on the side, although this has taken a life of its own, hasn't it?
Well, I started doing comedy about 4 years ago. It wasn't until November of last year where I introduced pretty much the world to my stage name, Mike Chick. And so within a short amount of time, it's really taken over my life. I love what I do during the day, being a communications and public relations expert. It's a great passion of mine. But performing from Houston to Miami all the way up to Chicago on the weekends, it's a tough life because I am a mom, I am a wife, and so it's tough. Ideally, I want to go on and pursue this on a national, just have that national presence, and so something's going to have to give or go.
And it might be your day job, maybe not, but at any rate, you are in the state system, so you must find some amusement at Louisiana
constantly.
Politics. You know, Kinky Friedman said he didn't want to nose around in other states' business, but are Louisiana politicians funny by nature?
Well, it depends on who you're talking about. We have a lot of colorful characters here. That's just the nature of Louisiana. For some reason, they just all seem to get indicted.
What was it Billy Tozan said? Louisiana should change its license plates to a state of indictment.
Oh, that's awesome, huh? Yeah. It's so true. There's just something about Louisiana politics that either you're going to really serve your people or you're going to serve time.
That's not bad. And it was Bobby Jindal who stole Tozan's line about half the state being underwater and the other half being under indictment. But one of those people who is formerly under indictment and actually went to prison is back in the political realm and may end up getting elected to Congress 50 years after he first did it, Edwin Washington Edwards. What do you think of him?
Well, he's one of those people that he's very well loved by so many folks. And then you have this new season of people who really believe that way of thinking and that way of doing business is what really brought Louisiana down. And they don't want to see him back in office. So it's one of those things where you have folks who knew him when, and then you have this new Baton Rouge or new Louisiana that really no longer embraces that mentality.
All right. Well, one of my college cohorts who later became a prominent lawyer and before that was a stand-up comic, Eric Gayrard. He went by Cajun E, by the way, when he was doing stand-up comedy for several years. He writes that he believes that America will not elect a president who does not look good naked.
Absolutely, I wouldn't.
Well, I've never seen a president naked.
Well, you can visualize. It's all about what's in your mind. I wish, you know, if people could only think that about other offices and roles and people, but being naked.
Naked?
Yeah, naked as a president, I think it's more about what you can bring to the table, the personality, being able to capture and resonate with the voters and your constituents. But if you look good naked, that's just a bonus.
So you can visualize, and come to think of it, Cajun E might have a point. Obama's in good shape.
He is.
Bush was in good shape. Clinton was in good shape for much of his term, certainly is now.
I'm in great shape, but I don't know if the people coming to see me are thinking about me naked.
Well, you're beautiful, and that doesn't hurt.
It does.
You're certainly prettier than Kinky Friedman.
Absolutely.
So if you're choosing between the one-woman comedy explosion and Kinky Friedman,
clear choice.
On the basis of appearance, there's no doubt that the mic chick wins this one pretty easily. What will you be discussing tonight with the thousands of your closest friends?
I'm going to use all of my funny skills to talk about, clearly, some politics, pop culture, family, relationships, just growing up in Louisiana.
Which you did.
Yes, proud Baton Rouge native. I love Louisiana, and I love the state that we're becoming.
Well, if it's a toss-up, you go with the Louisiana girl over the Texas Jew boy, Kinky Friedman.
Every time.
Tiffany Dickerson. I said Mayflower Street, and I don't have the name of the actual venue.
The venue is XO.
XO on Mayflower Street. Is that near the police station?
It's right there next to it's right there next to the Bell of Baton Rouge, right there by the atrium.
Okay, well, good deal. And Jerry Seppos, the outstanding dean of the Manship School, says the widow of John McGinnis has endowed a scholarship in his honor at the Manship School of Mass Communication. That is appropriate for the man who was the dean of Louisiana Political Commentators, and we'll talk more about this and about John when we visit with Jeremy Alford again soon. And now we pause for a day. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.